Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Football on Off the Ball.
Unbelievable the people we have supporting us, and just to feel the love in the end of the game, even though we lost, was for me magical seeing it as a foreigner.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Centra. Kick off with a cold one. Over 18s only, drink responsibly. Get the facts. Visit drinkaware.ie.
This is News Talk.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5. You can WhatsApp us 087-9180-180. Now time for the Saturday panel here on News Talk. So we're going to look ahead to this weekend's Allianz National Football League finals at Croke Park. Today, Longford play Carlow in the Division 4 final at 5, followed by Down versus Wexford in the Division 3 decider at 7.15. Tomorrow, Meath and Cork in the Division 2 final, 1.45. Before Kerry and Donegal go head-to-head at 4 o'clock in the Division 1 decider. To look ahead, we're delighted to have in studio over the next hour or so the ex-Carlow midfielder Brendan Murphy, the former Wexford forward Kieran Ling, and the ex-Longford boss and Dublin All-Star Jack Sheedy. Brendan, Jack and Kieran, you're all very welcome to the studio.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
I like to stay in the GA calendar, lads, because you're playing at Croke Park, the silver on the line. Not often players sometimes would get to play at Croke Park. Some players never play ever at Croke Park, inter-county players. So this is important for players, Brendan.
Yeah, it's huge. And I was working last night. I was talking to a colleague of mine, and he was a Galway man that he used to maybe be more success than what we were. And he was laughing, saying, oh, Carlow, you know, lifting the Division 4 trophy. And a bit of a skate and a bit of a laugh, but it's huge. Like, it's a chance we only get to Croke Park maybe once every 8 years, roughly. Going on the last few years, and the chance to lift the national trophy and climb up steps to the Hogan, like it's huge. It's we're realistic, like we won't win a provincial or an All Ireland. Maybe a chance with a Talton if the momentum can keep going. But for us today, it's huge. My own village, there, our club, there's 7 lads involved. The whole village is cleared out. You know,
oh great, yeah.
The flasks and the sandwiches.
Is
and
there
all
a
the
bus organised or anything?
A couple of buses, I think, organised as well, and just all the houses, just kids. Travel up the road there with my wife, my mother, and my 2 kids. So it's magic. It's brilliant, and it's a huge day and a special day. You know, it's not too often that Carlo get there and to see some of the lads you know and a chance to play a competitive game, win a trophy, and bring it back down the road is it'd be absolutely massive for Carlo.
And you were here with Longford about 10 years ago, Jack. You had in the divisional final at Croke Park, so you know what this is like for a county like Longford. Wouldn't be seen as maybe a Leinster title winner.
No, it's not. But as Brendan has just said, like every opportunity to get to Croke Park is immense. It's so important, not just for the team that's there at the time, but for the momentum, you know, of the teams coming along behind the under-20s, minors and all that sort of thing. So it's really important that it feeds back down to the other teams. But for the lads themselves, it's not the most frequent thing that happens, so therefore to get an opportunity to play in Croke Park, as we all did, you know, as young lads, we dreamt of, you know, watching on television and watching the good teams playing and, you know, to see them playing in Croke Park, and that's what you grew up with, and that kind of fueled your energy to do what you did and to continue, you know, the dark evenings and all that sort of thing. So any opportunity to play in Croke Park, whether it's Division 1 or Division 4, it's a great opportunity and one to be, you know, to be savoured.
And Kieran, is there much of a vibe in Wexford? Like, are you in bonus territory now? I mean, you've been going into Division 2 now, and you're in a final against Down this evening.
Yeah, massively in bonus territory. I think a lot of people, when we first were promoted, the idea was to stay in Division 3 and you know, establish yourself and continue the rebuilding process. They started so well in the league, and the new rules for the last couple of years have suited them so well in their style of football. Yeah, they've also been lucky enough, they've played in Croke Park a good few times, so they have a little bit of experience. I think, yeah, everyone's behind them in Wexford at the moment. There was a massive buzz after, obviously, the way the Westmeath match finished last week. There was pandemonium in Wexford Park after it. Everyone flooded onto the pitch, and I know a last-minute goal will do that, but it's been a while since we've seen that in Wexford football. So, yeah, getting to Croke Park to play again. You know, I saw after the cup final in the soccer last week, one of the English players talking about that's what they dream of since they're a child. That's what we come up with. That's what we're brought up with. Even when I was going off to play soccer, I still thought at some point I might get to play in Croke Park. That was because that's the top for us. That's the premium level.
Because people might not know, Ciarán, you played at under age level for the Republic of Ireland alongside Paul McShane, Aidan McGeady.
Yeah, we had a good crew, a good team. I was matched up with McGeady a lot of the time as well. He was right wing and I was left midfield. Trickiest little Glaswegian you've ever seen. But yeah, that route didn't last too long.
You were in Shrewsbury Town, were you, for a few
years? Yeah, for a year. After Preston, I went to Shrewsbury for a year to try and break through, played some first team games. But yeah, I was kind of flogging a dead horse at that stage.
But then you contrast that with playing at All-Ireland semi-final at Croke Park like Jack did.
Yeah. And quickly enough happened. I mean, it was 3 or 4 years later. I was still pretty young at the time. But when you're that age, that's just what you're going from one game to the next, aren't you? That's from when you're 11, 12, you're going soccer matches at the weekend and then football matches, hurling matches. So you're always going from one thing to the next. So at the time, you don't think much of it. Looking back on it, yeah, it's something to be proud of.
Did you find your soccer skills helped you in GAA?
It didn't help my hurling anyway. I was decent in the air in hurling and I just struggled to catch the flight of it for the first couple of years and I came back. But with football, when you're playing soccer, you'd have ball at your feet all the time. If you weren't, you were knocking the ball off the wall or up kicking around with the lads. So yeah, it was a much more natural transition back to football.
Because with hurling as well, St Martin's, your club have had an amazing year.
Incredibly.
Won the Leinster Club.
Leinster Club champions and held Ballygunner to the pin of their collar as well. Our old manager, Jason Ryan, over them. Fantastic year. And luckily, a young enough, with the exception of old man Dottie Waters, a very young team.
What does it do, as Brendan was outlining, for Rathvilly there, for St Martin's as a place?
It's huge in the village. Like, that's, you're always trying to go one step further. So the crew before us, it was 99 before we won our first senior hurling title. So when we came along, it was trying who could win a back-to-back. And then it was maybe Leinster. But you got into the situation then where you take your eye off. Winning your own county is a hard part, very difficult part of it. And you can kind of get caught out a bit. But the next step was Leinster, and the boys managed to achieve that. Now they have one more step to go, so hopefully that can happen over the next couple of years.
This is Pearstown, is it?
Pearstown, Burntown, yeah, St. Yeah. Martin's, yeah.
Where was your club, Jack, growing up in Dublin?
Growing up was Lucan's Hurstfields, yeah.
Tommy Carr was involved there, was he?
Tom was a neighbour of mine, yeah. We went to school together initially, and then played all the juvenile football together up to under 21, and then when he went to the army, the cadets, he was in college in Galway. So then there was a gang of them together, himself and Kevin McStay, and they transferred back up to Ballymun-Kickhams. But yeah, Lucan was like a tiny village at the time, and it was probably nearly more equestrian and farming around there than anything else. But the Lucan United soccer team, Sarsfields, we had one team, and you just played hurling, football, the whole lot. You just did it all.
Still involved at all, or?
No, not involved with the club at the moment. Haven't been for a few years, but I'd go to the occasional match with them to see the seniors playing. And Stephen Shocknessy is there managing them, who I played with when he was very young, and a great lad. A great bunch of people around the club. It's grown hugely, and a lot of good work being put into it.
Well, we talk about journeys there, Brendan. You hear about Ciarán talking about being an underage soccer player and playing in England and his early years. You went to Australia. You were the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, a long time ago now. 2007. Got to the minor final. Lost to Laois, actually. Still haunts me to this day. The other way. We missed the penalty, actually. I would have won it. Like, huge. Like, special days. I have a folder home of newspaper cuttings and things. You know, it might be All Ireland successes or something, but for us, it was huge. So, yeah, the following week, oh, sorry, the day after the Leinster final, I was actually down the local just chatting to a few lads, and the phone rang. It was this fellow in Australian accent. I thought it was someone actually just messing. And I actually was a bit worse for wear, a bit tired the following morning. So I was like, that's for my address. And I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. Give him the address. And yeah, a couple of hours later, then two lads knocked on the door. Went so down
they're
to
already
Sydney.
In Ireland?
They were at the minor game. So they called the house the next day. It was, I suppose, it was mind-boggling stuff, really, for
Sounds
me.
Like Alex Ferguson or something.
Yeah. No, it was a huge, huge shock. Great experience. 2 years, I was down there from kind of 07 to 09. I was supposed to stay on, and I suppose I'm proud from where I'm from, and I love where I'm from, and I love playing football for Philly. And when the decision came to stay for 2 years or come home, there was only one option, really, and I've no regrets really since. It was a great experience going down there, living on the far side of the world as an 18-year-old. Learned a lot about myself, and I suppose even strength conditioning and stuff to bring home to Gaelic football. But a great experience, but long term it wasn't for me. I love being home, love playing for Alfie Lee, and I love playing for Carlo. So it's a long time ago now. I keep saying to my wife, Jesus, 19 years ago or whatever. You know, just the time has flown since I've come back. But yeah, great experience.
Was it a rookie contract or?
Rookie contract, yeah, for 2 years.
Was Ty Kennelly down there? This
yeah, I lived with Ty my first year. And after my first year, then he came home. Luckily enough for him, he won the All-Ireland, fell well from. He had a good year and he went back out to Australia then.
And that was your plan, wasn't it? Come back and win the
All-Ireland. That was, yeah, come back. When, it didn't happen, unfortunately. But yeah, I lived with Ty my first year. It was a great help for me and kind of settled. It was tough. Went out for 6 weeks before Christmas in 07. Came back for Christmas and flew out then in January, and I'd never been from away from home before, and I'd say for the first 2 or 3 months probably cried myself to sleep every night. You know, it was just warming me up. I settled into it and enjoyed it, and some days, yeah, you'd think, geez, I might stay out here, and I could see myself kind of making a future for myself here. But then just, I suppose, the call home, like I was saying to the lads outside before I came into the studio, like, since I've been 15, all I wanted to do was play for Raffili. And I lived in the village in my home place, and I'd be down watching the seniors train. Paul Curran was actually over in 96 and running along behind the lads at the end of training and things, and it was all I wanted to do. So I suppose that was the decision I made to come home.
So homesickness, even for a young elite sports person, is a real thing.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was tough. January, I flew back out, I think most, for 2 years I was there, I flew back out on the 2nd of January, and it was tough. You'd kind of put on a brave face in the club. You're trying to learn new rules, meet new friends, kind of adjust to the new game, the kicking style now. But once I got into the bed in the night, it was just like I was on my own. You know, and it was tough. You kind of, I suppose, I got through it, and I met some lifelong friends. Ed Barrow, he actually came home to my wedding there in 2019, and Kristen Thornton, a couple of lads I lived with, they really helped in settling in. But it was huge. I suppose back then there was no FaceTime, there was no WhatsApp video calls. There was a Skype maybe once a week home to the family and see them all sitting around the computer. But it was real. But I suppose I learned a lot about myself, and I suppose a bit of resilience that you could push through it and get on. And, you know, for a while it was looking like I didn't play any AFL games. I was kind of nearly made a breakthrough towards the end of my first year. They told me to come back and have a good pre-season my second year. Played a kind of, I suppose, if you want to call it, on a Burn Cup game with the first team. Told me to go back for round one and we'll have a look at you. But I ended up kind of dislocating my shoulder in round one with the reserves. And from that point on, I was kind of playing catch up. And then just when the decision came, do I really want to stay here? I suppose I sat down and thought about it. And no, Raffaele was where I wanted to be, I suppose.
We're talking to Brendan Murphy, Kieran Ling and Jack Sheedy on their careers in the league finals as well. Kieran, did you find that an issue, homesickness, when you were playing soccer over as a young lad in England?
I did the first year, yeah. Definitely the first 6-8 months. You're suddenly, like, when you're playing with your club and you're at home here, you're playing with your friends. When you're over there, you realise you're an individual, and the lads that are your friends, you're kind of competing with. You know, there's maybe 2 or 3 contracts going to be given out. So it's very hard to wrap your head around that at the start, because you're so young at 16, 17, and you think people aren't, if an innocent view of the world, I suppose, you don't think people are going to head on you for something you did, or you're not going to get in trouble for something. You know, players can be competitive with each other at that age group, and yeah, that's sort of stuff, the cruel nature of sports sort of reveals itself to you slowly.
big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What about then your advice to, I mean, it's hard to turn down professional opportunity for any young GA player, even though it might not suit the counties they're involved in.
No, I suppose it's a chance to be a professional athlete and at the same time to make a good living. Like, it is a great lifestyle. Like, the weather was good and you trained at the club 5 days a week. You had your weekends off, and then in season you maintained yourself Monday to Friday with a game at the weekend, and it is huge. And I suppose the top counties, maybe in Ireland, the players might be, I suppose, the more resources and maybe backing to look after the players. But from the weaker counties, like, I was never going to say no to the chance to be a professional lifestyle, like, or a professional athlete. Obviously playing for Carlow, it meant a lot to me, but at the same time you couldn't turn it down. Like, and I don't read articles about, like, ex-intercounty players saying, you know, it's not on and clubs need to be reimbursed and the AFL need to back off and leave the players alone. But the AFL can give younger players something that the GAA can't give, and something that we've all dreamed of. Like, I suppose we've all dreamed of, like, what Kieran tasted, like, probably an issue. You want to be a professional soccer player and that doesn't come. And then you're giving your everything to GAA, and then all of a sudden you have a chance to become a professional athlete in your code. And it's very few players that turn it down. Like, even you look at Mark O'Connor there from Kerry, you know, he'd have multiple All-Irelands now. I know he came back and won the club, but he's made a brilliant career for himself in Australia. I know Shane Mullen there is doing likewise.
Zach Tui as well.
Like, Zach was an incredible athlete, won the Premiership, you know, and Ty was obviously lucky enough to come back and win an All-Ireland. But, like, it's a huge pull. Like, you're a professional athlete, and all you have to think about is just mind yourself, maintain your body, and just getting ready for games at the weekend. You can't have that here.
So it makes sense then for Cubby McDonald, after his leaving, to go to St Kilda and just try it.
Oh. Yeah, like, I can't. Like, I saw the sign.
What are you laughing at?
I saw the sign down in Kerry and I was like, keep your hands off. Like, Cubby McDonald, like, if you look at his father, like, one of the greatest footballers of all time, like a freak. And I remember I was coming out of a cafe in Bond last, it's next town over, I'm on the Wicklow border, a couple of years ago. And when I walked out the door of the cafe, here was Kieran McDonald working on the roads, up to his waist, actually, because he was down in the road or laying pipes, so working away. And I remember just saying to my wife, I was like, isn't that crazy? Like, that's the greatest, or one of the greatest footballers of his generation. And now that he's finished playing, he's working on it. Like, he's still had his job to do. Do you know what I mean? And for Cobie Mike, I think it's a no-brainer. Go to Australia. It is obviously a loss to the GA because we've seen what a special talent he is, but you can't expect him to say no. It's a no-brainer. He can go, and if he goes for 2 years and decides to come back after 2 years, what he have learned and what he can bring back to Mayo will be unbelievable. But it's very hard to say no, he shouldn't go on chance of an honour. Like, he's dead right to go, and St Kilda are brilliant. They're building a brilliant team at the minute, after making some kind of big signings in pre-season, a lot of young lads coming through. And I'd say they're probably going to get him on a plane as soon as his last Leaving Cert exam is done, because they can see the hype that's building around him in Ireland. Like,
well, Jim Stein's really set the tone, didn't he, for, you know, Irish players down in Australia, Jack?
Yeah, Jimmy did, definitely.
Like Jim Stein's.
And he, and, you know, he enveloped the whole thing. He immersed himself in it, and he worked extremely hard at his career over there, but he never forgot where he was from. And then, you know, like, Tig was the same. It's a career, it's a life. You know, if that's not happening here, whether it be in your personal life, you know, work life, whatever, the opportunity to do that is an amazing opportunity, and to be able to go and do that. And as Brendan has said, like, some guys come back after 2 years, but they come back as more experienced, more broadened athletes, in so many ways, both as a footballer, the strength and conditioning side of things. You learn so much in that time over there. So if you make it, it's fantastic. And a lot of guys will tend to come back. Like, I know Brian Stein's, Jimmy's younger brother, played with us during the 90s. Brian had been out there for a few years, came back here, joined the Fire Brigade, and did really well, won All-Ireland in 95. and had a great career here, and then went back out to Australia again. But the opportunity now, because the world has become such a smaller, much, much smaller place. So to go to Australia now is not like it was 25, 50 years ago. You can be back in a day and a half. And as Mark O'Connor has proven, you know, you can come back and you can compete and you can give back what you've picked up over there to your club, and now he can go back and resume his life over there again, which is fantastic.
This is Off the Ball Saturday News Talk. Jack Sheedy, Brendan Murphy and Kieran Ling on our GAA-related Saturday panel ahead of the league finals. Texter in here, 087-9180-180. Great to hear Kieran Ling on the show, who actually scored his first ever goal against Down, I believe. Love the show, lads. Thank you. Was it against Down?
Yeah, it was in Crow Park in the qualifiers, yeah. I got a bit of stick as well, because I played like a year, 2 years. That was my second year. I got a few scores and things. I wasn't just stuck in the corner, but I hadn't actually managed to get a goal in a competitive match. So Matty flicked me down a nice one against Down, and yeah, that was the first one. But back that, we had the same with Barry O'Connor from St. Martin's, who played on our Leinster club winning hurling team last year, where he was over in Australia at the Aussie Rules for a couple of years as well. And yeah, he grew up a lot. He became much more of a man since he came home. So it would be hard not to advise Colby to go. But at the same time, he's the brightest light in Mayo. And, you know, we all know how hard they've been knocking on the door for the last few years. I just think they should move heaven and earth to try and keep him.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Did you play any other sports, Jack, when you were younger? Was it always Gaelic football?
No, I played a lot of soccer. I played with the Garda soccer team. I played with the Garda GA team here in Dublin for 7 or 8 seasons as well. And then I also played combined with soccer as well with the Garda club in the Leinster Senior League here. But then equestrian side of things was more my thing. So the soccer was great. It allowed me to play in the winter because we had our winter breaks back then. It kept me fit. I enjoyed it. It was very competitive. And you were playing with guys that you played Gal with as well. So it gave us great opportunities. We got to travel to, you know, European Police Championships and stuff like that. And I think it was great to have an additional game under your belt because, number one, the fitness side of things, but to be playing another sport was fantastic because it grows your game.
Yeah.
People say soccer players playing GAA, they don't have hands or whatever, but GAA players playing soccer learn so much. They get so much awareness about space and closing off space, which has become a huge part of GAA nowadays. And it was, I think, certainly benefited me hugely.
We've got Jack Sheedy, Brendan Murphy and Kieran Ling on the Saturday panel. We are going to look ahead to the finals over the weekend, Down against Wexford, Longford against Carlow, and the Kerry Donegal, and also Meath against Cork tomorrow after the break, after 2 o'clock here. Just to let you know as well, in the rugby, and Munster have lost, but only by 3 points. Pride salvaged and a bonus point. So 34 for the Pretoria Bulls, 31 for Munster, the final score in South Africa. 5 tries for Munster, actually more than the Bulls. Tom O'Hearn got 2, Sean O'Brien got 1, Ben O'Connor and Edwin Odogbo, Jack Crowley with 3 conversions, but Andre Pollard with 2 penalties, edging the game for the Bulls in the URC. Remember Connacht in action as well this afternoon at the Dexcom Stadium in their rugby URC match. And we also have, remember, Ulster away to Zebre tonight. So and that's a kickoff at 7:45 initially. Connacht against the Ospreys at 2:15 at the Dexcom Stadium. That's what's going on. We got Energy All-Ireland League action to update you on throughout the show this afternoon. Manchester United 0, Manchester City 3 after 25 minutes of the Women's Super League game across the water. And Everton 2, Liverpool 3 is the latest score. Arsenal against Spurs at 5:30. Women's National League, our fixtures this afternoon. Bohemians against Athlone, Cork City versus Treaty United, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers, all kicking off at 3. Then 4 o'clock, Shelburne versus DLR Waves. And then 5 o'clock, Galway United versus Wexford at the same time. Piemont take on Waterford. This is the Saturday panel on Off the Ball. We're back on the air after two with Brendan Murphy, Jack Sheedy and Kieran Ling. If you want to WhatsApp the lads with any questions, you can. 087-9180-180. Back after this.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Centra. Kick off with a cold one. Over 18s only. Drink responsibly. Get the facts. Visit drinkaware.ie.
This is News Talk.
And you're welcome back, folks, to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. Already, look, the WhatsApp number has gone crazy on the Republic of Ireland, as we knew it would. 087 9180 180. We're going to get to that between 3 and 5 with Owen Doyle and Greg Cunningham and the fallout from Prague. We're even going to talk about it as well on the Saturday panel here. But it's Gaelic Games is the focus as we preview this weekend's Allianz National League Finals, the football, Gaelic football, Division 1, 2, 3 and 4, with the ex-Carlow midfielder Brendan Murphy, the former Wexford forward Kieran Ling, and the ex-Longford boss and Dublin All-Star Jack Sheedy in studio. The new rules, Brendan, as a midfielder, and have you seen any kind of different adaptation of the new rules? Are teams like maybe using them differently in a tactical basis, say in Division 4 versus Division 1, and how do you feel about them generally as a former midfielder at a county level?
Yeah, no, I think they were badly needed. Like, I was just listening to a podcast there last week and they were talking about games finishing 8-6, and you're like, geez, it really was bad. And towards the end of my time, I remember when I started playing for Carlow first, like, if you got the ball as a midfielder, kind of halfway, you'd be looking up and you'd be trying to play it into the inside forwards. And there was always 6-on-6, and you could maybe use my strength as a kick passer into the space and the forward would get it. But towards the end of the time, it just wasn't an option. And the way teams set up and the defensive nature of it, it kind of curtailed people's natural abilities. You know, it wasn't a good spectacle. And when we got promoted in 2018 and I was midfield with an incredible athlete. He's actually involved with the panel today, Carlow, Sean Murphy. I mean, Sean took off the speed.
Flyer.
He took off when we played at Wexford in 18. Like, it was just a frightening pace, incredible to watch. But his natural ability was his speed and he'd take off. And the slower lads like myself, we couldn't catch him. So then, just by nature of the defensive block then, he was just getting swarmed by 5-6 lads. And some of the times, the ball was overturned and he was blue for carrying and stuff. And it just went against what was good about Gaelic Games, that your natural ability and what made you a good footballer, it didn't count for anything. If you could run, if you could hand pass, if you could stick to a system, you could be an inter-county footballer. And I think the new rules have been a breath of fresh air. I was kind of maybe a bit hesitant. I wouldn't be one for change, be too open to it. But it's been brilliant. And I think Division 1, like the pinnacle of our sport, I think it's incredible to watch. The way, if you were to take Kerry, to break fast, kick pass into the full forward line, David Clifford does his thing, or Sean O'Shea is coming off the loop, and it's been great. It's I think revitalised the sport, and it was badly needed. And I think going down to divisions, I was just saying to Kieran, like, for me, my interest is Division 4, kind of keeping an eye on Carlow. And Division 4, there's not much between, there's quality there, but the thing that can hamper you in Division 4 is just mistakes. If you make a mistake, you could be getting the lead. And Jack, I've been along. Like, you get a lead and then a bad decision or a poor skill execution, the team gets a goal and then you're dragged back into the dogfight. I think I've gone to a few Carlow games this year and the rules, they mightn't be used as they are in Division 1 in terms of quick kick passing, but teams are definitely trying to break as quick as they can and get the ball in. But sometimes maybe the skill execution or decision making mightn't be at what it would be in terms of, you know, Armaghs and the Kerrys. But you know, it's been great, and I think for Carlow, and today hopefully they have a lot of speedsters that can move it fast. But once they get up, if Longford are set up, then Carlow are equally kind of, I suppose, adapt at getting the two pointers in range around the arc. And I think that might be the difference between 1 and 4. In 4, if the break is non, then they're okay to kind of just set up around the arc, go for the two pointers. Whereas in Division 1, 2, it's just speed. You just go and just back your ability. But it has been great. It's improved the football in the country, no end.
Would you like to be in a midfielder now, Jack, with the new rules?
Yeah, it would probably be more suitable to... Yeah, it certainly would suit my type of game as a runner. I would have prided myself personally on being a decent kick passer, but I think some of the teammates might have disagreed with that one down the years, you know. But yeah, it's great to see that the kick pass has come back into the game. I'd like to see more of it. I watched a couple of games recently and you just get bored watching it going from side to side. I know it's moving a bit quicker and it has helped to create more space, But I just think there's an awful lot of needless passing. There's guys running across the field and handing it to somebody else. Where when you see, and Galway are good at it at times, Kerry are very good at it. And Dublin against Armagh, I was very impressed with them in the first half. They did really, really well because they utilised the kick pass into space, into guys going into space, and it carved Armagh open in the first half. Now, it changed dramatically in the second half. But to see games being played going forward rather than just going side to side has definitely... it's created better matchups, which we've been missing in the game because, you know, there's not too many guys that can mark the likes of David Clifford or Rian O'Neill and guys like that in the full forward positions. But I think with the quick kick passes in there, it's creating a better matchup. It's giving us more one-on-ones and it's making what the game was, you know, 25, 30, 40 years ago. It's making it more interesting. I would love to see a little bit more directness in it, but I do appreciate the fact that teams are loath to give away possession. It's become such a crucial component of the game.
What about the game now? Is it a forwards game, Kieran? Is it your game?
Yeah, I'd like to think it's better for the forwards. I was probably on the other side of Brendan's equation in that we saw the development of the defensive systems. When I started, you were man on man. It was very much you against him, a lot of mounting and arguments and all of that. And then slowly back to a sweeper, then to two sweepers, then to a full defensive system. And you can't really do it anymore. You can't have 13 athletes and two footballers. That's now you need to have a better balance of speed and lads who can kick the ball and play. I think maybe on Jack's point, like eventually the one extra rule I would think they'll have to look at eventually would be like a shot clock or something where... Because there is still the lateral stuff. I mean, if a team's in front... Now, the
late in games, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't mean to the extent of basketball where it's 25 or 30 seconds or whatever, but maybe a minute from when you cross halfway or something to that extent where we're getting a result from it rather than a team playing the ball forward and then back out around and keeping it where you see a team chasing after the ball. That could make it a little bit more direct. But all in all, I think Jim Gavin and the crew did a phenomenal job. I mean... I would have asked lads who'd retired similar time to me, they didn't watch football, they stopped watching football, like, which is hard to believe. You'd spend 10-15 years playing something that's your life and then the spectacle had gotten so bad that they just wouldn't watch, you know, they weren't going to games and watching games, and I was probably in the same boat for a while, whereas now, yeah, look, the two top titles last year, the All-Ireland Senior Club and the All-Ireland Senior Intercounty, both went to Kerry, the football purists, you would argue. So I think the job they did is commendable.
Down were seen in their own eyes as football purists for quite a long time. How are you feeling about this evening's game, Down against Wexford? I mean, Conor Laverty's in charge there. You've had your promotion, which was in dramatic style last week against Westmeath. They beat you by 10 points down at Wexford Park?
Yeah, I know Conor as well. We had a couple of run-ins when we were playing. They're probably a bit ahead of us. On the evidence of that game in Wexford Park, they're definitely ahead of us. We had the flip last year with Limerick where we beat them in the group stages and got to Croke Park and they dominated the league final. So I'm hoping that's what the lads are clinging to, that this is our day to turn it around. Wexford Park's a nice big open pitch, not as big as Croke Park. So it will suit Down style. They're phenomenal athletes. They carry the ball well. You know, they've had that little spring back. Now they're heading back up to the second division where there probably is their level. But yeah, I'd give us a chance.
Who in your team is impressing you at the moment?
I think there's a couple of lads there. Owen Nolan's been there for probably 10, 12 years. I would have played him at the end of my career. They've been leading the charge. Brooks in the goal is phenomenal. That's another development that we didn't have in our day where you had a goalkeeper coming up and taking frees from 40, 50 yards and nailing them. But yeah, they've an excellent young group. And they have a group that's kind of come along together through hard times, through Division 4. And now we're starting to see exactly what they're made of and exactly the level they can get to.
Dara Brooks, yeah. What about Carlo then, Brendan Murphy? Joe Murphy is the manager now, is with Éire Óg.
Éire Óg, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. He was played in the 90s and he's come in now and put a bit of shape in it, has he?
Yeah. He hugely successful career, unfortunately. As I say that, as a Rathfilly man, they dominated the 90s and won five Leinster clubs as well. And he yeah, he, anywhere he goes as a manager, he has this, I suppose, there's an ego, and I suppose he can get lads into line with that as well. Like, anywhere he's gone as a manager, in fairness to him, he's won with O'Loughlin, he did back-to-back, he did five in a row with Aroge in Carlow, got them in the Leinster Club final, did very well with Nace there as well. And just what I was chatting to, I won't say his name, I was chatting to a senior player there a couple of months ago about him, who's involved with the Carlow panel this year. And he said, you know, this player has given a lot of service. And he said for the first 3 weeks, Joe Murphy kind of, you know, wouldn't have talked to him. And it wasn't a rudeness or anything, I suppose it was a tactic. And he said to me, you know, it changed my mindset that I need to impress this lad. He felt like he was a young lad starting all over again on the senior panel. Like, I need to earn this man's respect. I need to work hard. And the flair players, you know, I'm aware that if he has a flair player, he'll big them up and say, you're the man, and give them that confidence to express themselves when they go onto the pitch. And then like that with the workhorses, say, maybe your work rate needs to be upped. And then you almost get thick with them. You're like, well, I'm going to show you now. I'm going to work harder next game. And by all accounts, it's a great setup in there at the minute. Very young kind of team there. And if they can build on what they've done so far this year, and if they can build on it, it would be really something to get excited for as Carlow people in the future. Like, you know, we're crying out for, I suppose, a team to follow. People say, oh, you're from Carlow and you don't know about GA. Or a few times I was stationed up in Dublin. I used to work overtime in Croke Park just to get in around the place and see it. And my neighbour a few times, and, oh, you must be lost. And how did you get up here? And did you use maps and all? And you're kind of like, I've heard that one before, you know, get over it. Like, but we're fanatical GA people down there. I know we're down at the kind of basement for most of our history, but we love it, and it's our religion. It's what we do. It's what our kids do. It's what our parents taught us to do. And if they can build on it today, for a Carlow captain to go up the steps of the Hogan, and granted it would be a league title, it would be absolutely phenomenal. Like, my nephews are going, my nieces are going, and if they were to see Carlow person climb the steps, lift the cup, it makes success attainable for them, and it would just be brilliant.
It wouldn't be, after Willie Mullins this month, it'd be the second big Carlow success.
Carlow
made success.
Yeah, we'll let Willie Mullins have the top one there just for now, all right. Like, but no, it would be huge. It's brilliant. Like, there's going to be a serious Carlow crowd there today, because we love our GAA, and we just want to follow a team. We want this team to build on, I suppose, the platform draft putting in place this year, and going forward, the championship, Tailteann next year, I suppose, is where it's at, and maintaining their Division 3 status.
I'm just interested, Brendan, because you come back from Australia and then you're the big fish in the small pond, if you don't mind me saying that. How did you, because you're so well known in Carlow, how did you find that you had to manage your kind of, you know, your social life? Or,
oh geez, no, nothing like that, I suppose. I don't think I have too many fans in Carlow sometimes, the way I act on the pitch, but yeah.
But you're well known in the local area, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, like, it's a small village, and I'm immersed in the club, and my wife, my parents, and my brothers and sisters, we all kind of, it's all we've done, and I know I might be repeating myself, but it's all we've done. And for the first while, you know, when you come home, people want to talk to you, and I wouldn't be very good in a social setting, so I used to have just this spiel, I used to kind of blurt out, yeah, it was a great learning experience, and I enjoyed my time, and then someone else come up and talk to you, and how is Australian? It's the same line, So thankfully, people have gotten over that, and I'm kind of just the old person around the village now. But no, it wasn't any kind of adjusting or whatever like that. Carlow's a small county, there's a small club scene, so you're going to be known whether you stayed at home or went to Australia or anything like that. But yeah, no, I'm glad that Australia's forgotten about it and just kind of melt back into the background.
So they played Longford today, Carlow. What did you learn from the first day to the last day being a Longford manager, Jack? What was the experience for you?
That the passion, the desire, everything was as matched as what we had with Dublin. Smaller numbers, probably closer knit, because in Longford, everybody knows everybody. As I'm sure in Carlow with Brendan, everybody knew everybody. You knew your uncles, your aunts, your brothers, sisters, cousins, and they had the same opinion as everybody else, and everybody wanted you to win. Everybody was as passionate about the team achieving success and getting to playoffs, getting to Croke Park. It was so important, and that desire fed into the panels, and I suppose maybe I thought it was different. I thought, you know, coming from Dublin, that we had, I won't say an exclusivity attached to being in All-Irelands and Leinster finals and stuff like that on such a regular basis. But it was matched just as easily or just as passionately in, and not just in Longford. You know, we played our first year in Division 3 when I was there. Sadly went down on the last day of the season down in Wexford Park. But like we had guys like Paul Barden. And Paul would waltz into any inter-county team in the country back then, you know, and he would be a standout player in any of the top teams in the country at that time.
Yeah, he's one of the best centre forwards I played against
ever.
That was ever. Phenomenal ball carrier. And
And again, you know, you talk about desire and wanting to do things right. Like one of the things you were talking about, the rules and that sort of thing. Like you've guys from Wexford, Carlow, Longford, Dublin, Kerry, Donegal, Armagh, they're all in college together. And the guys from the smaller counties have the same ambitions because they're learning from the guys that are there from the successful counties or the more successful counties. And they want to imitate what's done. So tactics, ways of training, strength and conditioning, diets, all of those things, that's shared. Okay, there are the secret parts that everybody keeps to a certain extent, but by and large, we're all playing together for DCU tomorrow. We're sharing what we know. We're sharing our knowledge to bring that into the team that we're playing. So those lads go back to Carlow, they go back to Longford, Fermanagh, wherever. They want to imitate success, so they want to do everything well, and that's a huge part of whether you're in Dublin, Kerry, or Carlow, Longford, Wexford, wherever. It's the same desire is there to bring the level of performance. Doesn't always happen because the talent may not always be there, the numbers may not be there, but the desire to do that is huge, and it goes back through all the teams.
And you just can't choose your geography where you're from.
No. It's got nothing to do with geography. It's just, it's the desire to do it and to do it well. And like we had Mickey Quinn in Longford, like, and Mickey, like Brendan.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. Had been over. And like what he brought in the level of professionalism and his approach and his attention to detail and how he trained and how he prepared and how hard he worked on the pitch and in training, you know, that was fantastic. And it made such a big difference too, because, you know, like when I played, we played against, like, I remember one of my first games in the championship was down in Wexford. And I was playing, I think, either wing forward or centre forward, and the Wexford full back or the Wexford centre back, like I ran into him two or three times, or he ran into me, and it was like running into a stone wall. I don't think I'd ever been hit as hard as I was that day. And you're kind of going down thinking, okay, we're Dublin, maybe we're going to have it easy here. Thankfully, I learned a lesson at a very early age that you just take nothing for granted because they're phenomenal players no matter where you're from. And they produce because, again, as I say, the desire is there to be the best you can be.
We got Jack Sheedy, Brendan Murphy and Kieran Ling here on Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk, the Saturday panel. If you want to WhatsApp, as you can, 0879 180 180. How do you think Longford Carlow is going to go, Jack?
I would think at the moment Carlow were ahead. They've had a better league. They would have a better base, a stronger base, I should say, than what Longford have had. Longford have had a lot of ins and outs of their panel in the last couple of years. Like I think this year they lost 12 players that were there from last year, and that does have a knock on effect. Having said that, some of their results this year have been really good, and you know, they're a very passionate group down there, and they will come up. Barry Solon is there. You know, there's a very good coaching management set up there. They will have, you know, they'll want for nothing in terms of preparation and that sort of thing. But I just think Carlow would probably step ahead of them at the moment.
0879 180 180. Great show, lads. Thank you. As a Galway man, I'd like to apologise to Brendan for what the Galway workperson said to him. I remember when Galway footballers in Division 3, well, Kerry and Dublin have had the most success and have had brilliant players. The footballers who play and may not get to lift Sam are the real heroes, in my opinion. Well spoken, Brendan. Regards your club. Carlo Abu, says John Mannion in County Galway. So not only Carlo people supporting Carlo this afternoon, Brendan.
Yeah, no, we'll take it from any source of support we'll have.
What about Kerry at the moment? Are they ahead of everybody else?
I think they are. I think they're a step ahead. I fancy them to beat Donegal, but yeah, I predict that Donegal will reverse it later in the summer.
Now, what's this based on?
I don't know. Possibly a bit of Jim, Jim's magic, but watching Donegal play, I just feel like they're almost there. Do you know what I mean? And last year, when they got to this stage, they didn't really try that hard in the league final, I don't think. So I think that their bigger day against Kerry is going to come later in the summer. I don't think they'll put all their eggs in this basket.
What about Kerry? Are they way ahead?
I think they're certainly ahead. I think the brand of football that they're playing, you know, like Kieran said, they're like they're purists of football and their skills and all. It's a joy to watch. But they're also, like, they're very good at defending as well. They're aggressive in the tackle. They're well set up. You know, they're, I suppose, a bit like Kieran McGeaney with the kickouts and a bit bigger, like Kerry are trying to say, oh, it's just football. But they're not. It's more than that. They're an incredible side. They're incredibly well-oiled. They defend well. Like last weekend, Joe O'Connor, like, just putting in hits on the 45 and then they just break at speed. Their decision making is elite, their foot skills, their hand, everything's elite. And then when you have David Clifford and the likes in the full forward line, like, you know, there's talk about him being the greatest, and I certainly think he will be that. They're just their consistency. Once they get the ball up there, their consistency in the shooting and in their decision making, and they very rarely make a mistake when shooting. It's always nearly a score every time they kick it. It's incredible. I would back them this weekend, and I do think they'll win the All-Ireland this year as well.
What's happened to Dublin, Jack? I mean, is it maybe even an unfair question to ask after the golden generation, maybe generational players come through when they win all those All-Irelands under Pat Gilroy first and then Jim Gavin and then Desi Farrell in the 6-in-a-row run and then Desi with the 2023 win, but relegated, and just feels like they're in a regrouping phase.
Yeah, they're very much in a regrouping phase, and it is generational in so much as, you know, we were spoiled with the calibre of player that's been there for, you know, over those three managers' careers. But they're producing some good footballers. It's going to take them another year, definitely. If Jair can continue to bring in the calibre of player, and I saw them against Armagh, I thought that, you know, they had a lot of the skills required to play at that level and hopefully to be successful at some stage. But it takes a while because you've taken the core group of players out of the team. You've brought in guys who hadn't got ahead of those. So they need these guys coming through, plus the new guys coming in, you know, Killian McGuinness, young Brannock. There's a core group coming through, but they will need time. And yeah, it's disappointing that they've been relegated to Division 2. But it may be a good breeding ground for establishing a lot of those players. It happened a few years ago under Desi. So I think given time, there's definitely a good group of players coming through, and hopefully they'll come to the standards of the players that preceded them.
Are you glad to see Meath back? Because they are back, Division 2 final, All-Ireland semi last year.
Yeah, we were chatting before studio, and I think it's fantastic that Meath are back in it. Leinster football needs it in a big way. Thankfully, like, the gap has closed significantly. Meath have improved hugely. Loud have come into the equation.
Champions, of course, yeah.
Absolutely flying. Produced some great games, great players, and Dublin's regression has closed the gap. So now it's going to be a very interesting Leinster Championship. And if we could get a fourth team into it, like Wexford now up in Division 2, they're on a run. Hopefully they can maintain that. And we could have a very exciting Leinster Championship this year.
Did you hate the side of the Meath jersey at times as a player?
Well, I think when you're running into it often enough and it's running into you at a serious rate of knots, you kind of get a little bit sick of it, all right, especially when they're winning most of the encounters. But, you know, we had fantastic rivalry. We have great respect for each other down the years. Like, we would be friends with a lot of guys on both, you know, between both teams. And thankfully, we were not able to hit each other anymore. So, the rivalry was fantastic because it was brilliant for the GAA.
This is just after World Cup 90. I was just thinking about Thursday night in Prague and the disappointment of the Irish soccer players. Now, they are professionals. I mean, you had to go back to work after 91, did you? I mean, it was just very hard to take it. Say, no, you were at All-Ireland final the following year.
Yeah, it was difficult because it created a phenomenon over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, and we felt like professional players because you went from the drawn game into recovery, and that was the first time we'd ever kind of been acquainted with recovery, which was needed so quickly. So we did, you know, we saunas and jacuzzis and stuff like that, and more physios coming in, and you getting rubs and stuff like that. So you needed to recover much quicker. But to get back into the game again, you just, like, you didn't really train that much in between. As I say, it was recovery. You practiced your skills. You did a bit of loosening and stretching, and, you know, you played your games in training, which we did consistently. And you got back on the horse again, and you went in and got at it again.
Disappointment is an interesting thing in sports, isn't it, Ciarán, given what happened on Thursday? And we're all kind of, I suppose, mourning it in ways, or in our own ways. We're all talking about it.
Yeah, it was a real sting in the tail, wasn't it? Like, you felt like something was coming. That was the only thing watching it. You know, you felt, I always feel like if a team is going to defend for 45 minutes, you're going to get something unusual is going to happen in that time. And, like, the free kick in the corner, everyone's debating it. I don't think it's a foul, but then you have just a corner kick that's like 2 yards slightly inside. You have a player who's not that tall, but was clearly the Czech's best player, just breezes in front of the goalie and gets it. Yeah, happened to us last minute. I'm sure it's happened to the lads as well. Last minute goals at the end of matches to decide it. Especially a game where you feel like you're the better team. You know, we were 2-0 up in the soccer match the other night, and probably if we had have rolled it out for 15 minutes afterwards, I think we had enough to win the match. But yeah, then conceding the penalty straight after. But yeah, look, that's part of sport. I think as you get a little bit older, it hurts you more. When you're a little bit younger, you're kind of on to the next one. You take your couple of days off and get back to,
well, that's a club football, isn't it? Professional football. And
yeah,
but it's interesting the way you've kind of described this, Brendan. And I had no doubts about this before you came into studio. This is your World Cup playoff today in ways.
Yeah,
says Carlo people.
Yeah, no, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And, like, I suppose we have to be realistic about where we are in terms of population and club size of clubs. And we're at a national final in Croke Park. And as a Raffiti man, we've 7 lads involved, and incredibly proud. And I was on driving up today, I just texted my brother, I was like, just imagine being on the bus just heading into Croke Park. And granted, I know it's not a provincial final day, it's not an All-Ireland final day, there's not, streets aren't going to be thronged with people, but just, we did it a few times wearing the Carlow jersey, and there were just moments, you get even goosebumps now thinking of it, like, and just to be a young lad again and to be just travelling under the stand in Croke Park and getting tugged out, and like that, the opportunity to wear your county jersey in Croke Park on a national final day. Granted, it's the bottom division. It, for us as Carlow people, it doesn't get much better than this, but hopefully it will get better when if the lads get over the line.
You still have the best jerseys, Brendan.
Yeah, no, we're proud of the jerseys. We get a lot of feedback on the jerseys, all right. Yeah.
But I think it applies across the board. Like, I know from our point of view, getting to, we won 2 leagues with Dublin in our time, silverware is there to be won. And, you know, you don't get a chance to win every week or every month or every season even. So every opportunity you get to win, even like people would say, yeah, Dublin, you were getting here, there and everywhere in finals and Leinsters and stuff like that. Doesn't matter. You get an opportunity to win. The nature of the beast that we are as athletes or former athletes and players, you get an opportunity to win. You want to win. And it doesn't matter whether it's the O'Byrne Cup, the National League Division 4, the National League Division 1. That's an opportunity for silverware. And it's an opportunity to give your best game. And you got to take it.
And on that, like, as Carlow people, like, we've won 4 times in Croke Park in our history. You know, and it's frightening. You know, when you put it out with 1971, I think it was the last one we had in Croke Park, I can't kind of overstay enough. If our lads could get over the line today, if just for the next generation, if they could win a game, see a Carlow captain climb the steps of the Hogstand, lift the cup, it could have a knock-on effect for the generations to come. I've a couple of nephews at home. They were doing 5Ks around the village to get fifth for under 14 championship this year. You know? Jack and Finn, you know, that's how obsessed we are about football down there. And who knows, if they see Mikey Bamrick lift the cup, it could bring on them and all their crew and the different clubs around the county to strive to be better as a Carlow player and to make real inroads.
Got to happen sometime, somewhere. I remember Offaly Hurlers didn't have any history. Mm. I mean, the Netherlands as a football nation didn't have any history before they became
strife. That's the opportunity that's there for us today. You take it with both hands and you make history and lay a foundation for generations to come.
The best of luck to yourselves, Longford, Wexford and Down today. A poignant week, Jack Sheedy, because Michael Lester was laid to rest, the Sunday game presenter, for over three decades this week. And a lovely tribute by Vincent Hogue in the back of the Irish Times sports section. You might have encountered Michael a couple of times.
Yeah, Michael was such an affable, nice, friendly guy. He was such a great presenter in his own right, that what I loved about watching him on the Sunday game down the years, you know, and he had a difficult task, because like when you have Brawley, O'Rourke and Spillane and maybe Bernard Flynn and a few more lads in the commentary box, you have to be able to manage it well. And Michael was just so good. Like, he could prod and poke the boys and tease them into little, you know, getting them going, and he'd interject when needed, but he let the thing flow, which was, you know, I always think it's the greatest quality of a presenter, that they can allow all the different personalities, you know, give their opinions and stuff like that, but he never let it run out of control. He was able to keep it guided and steer it, you know, right from I met Michael back in the early 80s, and he'd only just come into RTE at the time, and he was just a lovely fella. He was a nice guy, no airs or graces, and you know, always made you feel welcome and comfortable when you were doing interviews. And you know, back in the day, like, there wasn't a huge amount of interviews being done with players after games and stuff like that, so it was kind of a little bit new. And he made it easy for you. He never put you in a position that was awkward. He'd ask you nice questions, and he kept it so that it was friendly and allowed you to come across as you were without being nervous and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's extremely sad that he has passed at such a young age, but he gave an awful lot to us, and something we have to be very grateful for.
Very well said, Jack. Thank you for that. And condolences to Michael Lester's family and his friends on a very sad week. Thank you, Jack, for coming in. Jack Sheedy. Thank you, Brendan Murphy. Fingers crossed for you.
Hopefully, please, God.
Yeah. And for you as well, Kieran Ling.
Thanks, John.
For the Saturday panel here, ahead of the Allianz National Football League finals today and tomorrow at Croke Park, and so much more coverage to come. But that was the Saturday panel here on Off the Ball Saturday News Talk. We've got lots to come. Football Saturday between 3 and 5. 087-9180-180 is the number, folks. If you want to get in touch in the debate with Owen Doyle and Greg Cunningham, lots of texts already in. And Connacht at the moment leading the Osprey 7-0. Munster losing to the Bulls in Pretoria 34-31 this afternoon. We're back after this break.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Centra. Kick off with a cold one. Over 18s only. Drink responsibly. Get the facts. Visit drinkaware.ie.
This is News Talk.